Welcome to Enlightened Evolution.
I'm Kay.
And I'm Christina.
We're here to discuss the ebb and flow of our soul's healing and transformation through self-reflection, choosing intentionally, honoring thyself, and following your inner guide.
Thank you for joining this safe space with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Enlightened Evolution. Kay and Christina here. We hope we find you all well this Monday morning. How are you doing, my dear?
I am good. I am hoping the sun comes out. We have plans to go to the park later with our favorite littles and go get some Mexican food. So I'm looking forward to that.
That sounds delicious.
How are you?
What is the temperature there?
Last time I checked, it was 29 degrees, but it's supposed to get up to like 56.
Oh.
And sunny. So it's 36 currently. Here's to hoping.
I guess I don't feel too bad about myself now. It's like 10 here. It's still pretty cold. 36 degrees is still pretty cold, but I hope you have a beautiful afternoon with that. Today, we are here to discuss compatibility and incompatibility in romantic relationships. That's going to be physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. We hope this content helps you find early on to know whether or not you are compatible with somebody to save yourself and another person from getting hurt. We will touch on certain qualities one should embody in order to be compatible with someone. Some things you should have in common for the relationship to be successful, and questions you can ask at the beginning stages of the relationship to determine if someone is even compatible with you or not. And of course, we will share our own experiences in relationships where we were not compatible with other people. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
All right. While we're eager to know what we have in common with the new attractive person that we have chemistry with, also take the time to determine if they contain some of the same qualities, some of the following qualities. And are these qualities that you also have that you can work on? And go ahead and chime in and add anytime. Active listening. Do they sincerely care about your thoughts and perspectives? If you don't share the same perspectives, do they respect how you see the world? Or do they choose constant conflict about your differences? Are they offended by how you feel? It's not wrong about how you feel. Or are you the type of person that does this? Do they communicate gently to you? Or does it seem like they're demeaning and abrasive? Do they have goals? Are they striving to be a better person in areas of their life? Do they have hobbies? Are they consistent in the areas of open communication, seeing you at a steady pace, but not too fast? Do they respect your time, not cancel dates? Do their words match their actions? And that only goes, you know,
it's a huge one.
It is a huge one, but I think you need to spend, a good amount of time. But if I would say like three times, like if they say they're going to do something and they don't do it, pay attention to that. Do they have respect and integrity for their exes and past relationships, or are they constantly talking bad about them? And are they financially self-sufficient? I think those things, we all need to embody those qualities.
Definitely. I think I would add to that, can you see their self-love? So do you see that they respect themselves? And there's always, we know that self-love is not that arrogance. It's not, I think I'm better than everyone, but it's, do they have, I love when somebody shares their boundaries with me, even if it's something, especially if it's something like I was overstepping their boundary and they're like, look, this is not okay with me. I'm like, yes, like, I'm sorry. First, I'm sorry for doing that. And thank you for sharing that boundary with me.
And I think we need to be reminded what boundaries are. Boundaries are something that you're not, isn't it? Boundaries are something that you're not going to do because it makes you uncomfortable, not something that you want them to change.
Correct. Yeah, I learned that with my therapist. I was telling her all these boundaries I had from my mom, and she's like, that's not boundaries. I was like, I need her to go to therapy. She's like, no, it's not what someone else does.
Right, right. Let me see here. So some things you need to have in common, and I categorize this physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Physically, I don't just want to just jump in what you need to have common sexually with a person. I would say in the physical world, do you align financially with this person? If this person wants to be the breadwinner and wants you to be a stay-at-home parent, are you comfortable with that? Or do you also want to be a breadwinner and, you know, have a successful career and do your own thing? Do your lifestyles align? Do you both want to sit up at night and, you know, eat snacks all night watching Netflix? Or are you both early risers and both want to exercise and cook together? And, you know, are you a vegan or are they a meat eater? You know, how do you align like that?
And if you have, I think the big part that comes in is if you feel strongly about that. So I will say my husband feels very strongly about being a carnivore or omnivore, I guess. Because he's a chef, I don't know, he has some feelings about vegans. I totally understand veganism. Well, I understand where it comes from and wanting to treat animals with respect. But if you know that you internally feel a certain way about a certain lifestyle and that person has that lifestyle, probably not compatible.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I think for the sex aspect of it, yes, you have to have the chemistry, the physical attraction must be there. Everybody's comfort level to share their self sexually comes at a different period of time. I'll say it again, refrain from having sex for someone for at least a month or two, go on several dates with them before you give yourself up because it will cloud your judgment. And just because you do have sexual compatibility, that's like this wild sexual attraction, completely feel comfortable with them in the bedroom, it doesn't mean that you're going to be compatible in other areas of life that are probably equally or just as more important. But are they eager to please you? And are you eager to please them? Do you reciprocate and do they reciprocate? Do you feel loved by them and comfortable physically and intimately? And do you, I've had this happen to me. Share if you have as well. They only want to give you physical intimacy if they're initiating sex.
Yep.
So you feel.
And I think that comes a lot from hetero relationships.
Mm-hmm.
For the most, I mean, it could be in same sex relationships as well. But yes, guys are notorious for doing this because they just think those two things go together. And the true way to build intimacy is having those close physical connections, you know, hugging, kissing, maybe a massage, that don't lead to sex.
Yeah. Yeah, because you end up feeling objectified, like you're just a piece of meat.
Yep.
And it doesn't feel like love to me.
No. Yeah, I've had that happen a lot.
Yeah. So emotionally, if you often are left feeling misunderstood, you don't feel heard, they're offended by your point of view, there's a constant conflict, you feel anxious and dysregulated every time you're trying to convey your feelings, you just end up feeling like lonely because this person's sitting right in front of you and it just seems like they're dedicated to misunderstanding you. You start feeling judged, ashamed, or made to feel guilty for the way that you view the world. I think that emotional compatibility is high on the list for sure. It's something that's non-negotiable for me.
Definitely.
Intellectual compatibility. Do you enjoy learning and talking about similar things? Do you find similar things equally interesting and mentally stimulating? And I think that a relationship could work if you don't align on being interested in the same things. But I do think that if your partner is interested in like playing video games and you would rather, I don't know, research birds or something, is he interested in what birds you're looking at or saw at your bird feeder today? Does he take a sincere, genuine interest about things that you're passionate about? And does he or she, like, do you love each other's interests just because you guys love them and they love you, so they're interested in what you're interested in, you know? Do you share?
I think it's important to take interest in your partner's hobbies and things, yeah. But that's also the beauty of being self-sufficient in a relationship. You don't have to do everything together. So
no,
my husband loves video games. I do not. I would rather go craft or go hike or whatever it might be. But I still take time to take interest and say, oh, you know, what game are you playing? What are you doing? You know, whatever it might be. He's also getting into hockey, so I'm asking him questions about that. I went and worked at his hockey practice while I just sat there and worked on my computer while he was practicing so that we could be together, but he was doing his thing and I was doing my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Even if you don't listen to the same, you know, YouTubers or podcasters, or you don't have the same Netflix preferences, do you still share them with each other and say like, oh yeah, like I can see that perspective, or I never thought about it that way. You know, take a genuine interest in your partner and what they prefer spiritually. I never put a high importance on this in the past, but as I've evolved, it's very important to me, and it's a non-negotiable for me now. I won't neglect this in a future relationship. If you have contrasting spiritual beliefs and practices, I think that to feel close to spirit, it's so precious and intimate, and you need to share that with your partner. And I don't think it needs to align 100%, but I do think that you need to accept their beliefs 100% and try to practice some of these things together, even if it's meditating, and everyone's meditation practice looks different. I think that it's important to be, you know, unified, evenly yoked, closer to God with your partner, especially if you're having children, because if you're teaching your children conflicting beliefs and it's a competition of whose belief system is right or wrong, it's going to fuck your kids up.
And I think that's the key part. Jordan and I fully don't have the same spiritual beliefs. So we both were raised Baptist. I have stepped away from the church and away from religion in general. He still holds on to some of those beliefs. He doesn't practice them fully, but the thing is that we both respect each other's ability. And I think the biggest thing and I know neither him or I are parents, is to never impose your own religious beliefs on your children. Allow them to choose what they are going to believe in. So that is something we have committed to each other, is we may have some differing beliefs, but it's never going to be us saying, oh, you got to go to church or you have to meditate. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer those as options to them. But I think it's that key part of having respect for each other's beliefs. But there are some people that absolutely cannot be with someone that is from a different religion or a different belief. I remember a previous boyfriend I had, he was Muslim. And, you know, we went into this relationship. At that time, I was practicing Christianity. And I seriously considered switching to Islam. And I really did it out of the interest of our relationship. So I wanted to learn more about his religion. So I read different pamphlets that his mom gave me, just so I could understand him more, understand mm-hmm. what his religious needs were. And then I looked at it from a thought of, well, you know, Islam is very descriptive of he needs to marry another Muslim, and you need to teach your children this religion. And so then that's when our relationship actually started to deteriorate, because I was reading all these books and he wasn't really practicing very strictly. So I was like, you know, I'm reading these booklets and it says you're supposed to do this and this and this. And, you know, I don't see that you do those things. I was like, so what do you expect if I'm your wife? Do you want me to cover myself? And do you expect to have other wives? And do you expect that our children are only going to learn Islam? And that's really where we got into the conversations we should have had at the beginning of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think in touching on the subject, have those conversations up front and really get to know what that's going to mean for your life together.
Absolutely. I've always wanted, and I asked for this in my last relationship, meditating brings me, just gives me an overall sense of peace. And that's when I feel closest to God. And I've always wanted to sit back to back with somebody and just meditate and just try to get our breathing in sync. That's never happened, but in my next relationship, I'm going to manifest that for us.
Yes.
So I came up with 8 questions to ask someone to know if they're compatible or not. And I'm not saying just full blown ask all these questions on the first date or anything like that. But gradually, as you're getting to know somebody and these conversations come up, ask them, ask about their lifestyle. What's their routine? What kind of food do they consume? Do they work out? How often do they drink and smoke? Just their lifestyle in general. How important is their health and wellness to them? And how important is your health and wellness to you? We kind of touched on that in the physical subject. And don't expect their lifestyle to change later on down the road just because you want things a certain way. That's selfish. And so what's non-negotiable for you? If someone smokes cigarettes, is that non-negotiable for you? But you really like this person and they're a cigarette smoker. Don't expect them to quit just because you don't like it.
Definitely. How? That's one of my non-negotiables.
Yeah. How eager are you to travel and seek new experiences? Or are you more comfortable, you know, being a homebody? Do you feel more safe at home? I love to travel. If I was with somebody that is afraid to fly on airplanes, well, that's probably not something I'm going to change. And
yeah,
you know, it's not going to work out. Are you on the same page with how often you'll be involved with family, friends? Let's say an example of this would be your partner. Every Friday night, they go and have dinner and game night with their family. Are they okay with you skipping out on that sometimes if that's not something that you're not feeling that this weekend? Or do they expect you to sit next to them and do those things? Or are you on the same page about having girls' weekend, guys' weekend? I think that needs to be established early on in a relationship too. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And I want everybody to know, like, just because you prefer something and we don't or they don't, it doesn't make it right or wrong. Your own preferences are fine. And I would even ask, like, hypothetical questions. Like, would you be more comfortable with this or with that? Or if this happened, how would you feel? Are you on the same page with having children and the boundaries you'll set with your children?
That's a huge, just even wanting to have children in general. I have a friend mm-hmm. that ended up getting a divorce because one wanted children and one didn't. And I mean, that's the rest of your life. So
yeah, it is.
If someone doesn't want that and someone does.
Yeah. Very important conversation to have right up front. I added this and you might laugh at me, but it's something that I complained about quite a bit in my last relationship. Are you on the same page about owning pets and the boundaries you have with your pets? And are you on the same page with how you will train them? Are you going to sleep in bed with these pets? Are they going to be trained to go to the bathroom on a pee pad in the house? Or did you prefer them to go outside? Do these people already have pets? And do you already know, like, oh, I do not like sleeping in the bed with two dogs. So it's kind of like, are they willing to compromise and no longer sleep in the bed with these dogs? Because these dogs are used to sleeping in the bed for years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you know, you come in and you're like, absolutely not. So I think you need to be on the same page about that.
And I think that gets overlooked, and it seems like something that's little, and you're like, oh, well, maybe they'll change that thing when we move in together or something like that. But it's so important to pay attention to how it is today, because it's very likely it's not going to change.
Absolutely. And I think I already touched on this about the finances and work, stay-at-home moms or dads. I would spend some time asking them, hey, what are your non-negotiables in a relationship? What's some things that you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody if they do this in their life? And I had to, and I don't know how much this matters, but it certainly matters to some people. Let me tell you, what are your non-negotiables for some things that people have done in their past? I don't want to be with somebody that's been married in their past. These are just examples. I don't want to be with somebody that has children with previous people. I don't want to be with somebody that's ever been a stripper, that's ever been a drug dealer, things like those, that nature. Because if you find out later on down the road that they were any of those things that are your non-negotiables, of course, always be open and upfront in your relationships about your past. But if you find out about it later on down the road and you never made it clear, that's not really fair either.
Can you think of one off the top? Like, the only thing I can think of off the top, because I can forgive a lot of things. The only thing I can think of off the top of my head is if they've ever been a pedophile. Absolutely not.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But yeah,
I could forgive a lot of things. A lot of things, because, I mean, gosh, I've done a complete 180. Kayla in her 30s is much different than Kayla in her 20s. So I can't judge. I can forgive pretty much anything, but that, no. We can't forgive that. Oh, also, if someone's ever like physically abused their female partner in the past, or even male, I mean, if you're a male and if someone has enough physical aggression in them to physically hurt somebody that's not used in defense, that would be really hard for me to look past.
Mm-hmm. It would be a no for me too, just because of my past relationships.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm.
But like we've said, people can change.
Yeah.
It's just not a situation I'm going to get myself into again.
Right. I think that don't indulge in fantasies that this person will someday conform to your belief system. You'll end up disappointed and brokenhearted. Everybody has their own desires and aspirations. And if you don't align with somebody just because you have good sexual chemistry with them, it's okay. You feel free to leave. Don't continue things with people. I think it's, excuse me. I think it starts with intentional and conscious communication. Some questions are hard to ask. Some subjects are touchy. And some things are uncomfortable to talk about. And sometimes we won't be ready to have these conversations right away. But I do think that it's very important to have these conversations right up front. What would you say the percentage is? There's a saying that says, okay, the 80-20 rule. You're never going to find somebody 100% that's 100% compatible with you. They check, 100% of the boxes. But I think if you have 80%,
I think that's
things.
A good rule of thumb.
Yeah. And I think that is a good rule of thumb. I think the rest of that saying is, if you have 80% of everything you want with somebody and you leave them because someone else embodies that 20%, you'll only be left with 20%.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that before. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens a lot of times in relationships. You get stuck on those things that you're not compatible with. And it's all you can think about. And then someone might pop up in your life. This happened in my last marriage, where I was so consumed with the thought of my husband not being a provider, not even caring for himself, like let alone providing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mentioned that I cheated in that relationship. Someone came along who had their shit together and, you know, was had their own house, their own car, their own career, and was doing great for themselves. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. Not that I lost out when I left that husband, but it can happen when you get too focused on one thing and then you leave someone and realize they're missing a lot of other things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the last episode we did was a lot of signs about warning signs. Just because you're incompatible with somebody, it doesn't mean they're abusive. It's going to create, you are going to have conflict in your relationship if you're not compatible with them. So ask the questions early on.
There's one we didn't touch on is political beliefs. If you are political, if you're not.
Good one.
If it's something that's important to you, if your political beliefs are important to you, that might be a key point to know in that other person as well.
One more thing, because that just triggered this thought in my head, but thoughts on abortion. I think that's a big one. Even if you know you're not having any more kids or you can't have any more kids, some people feel very strongly in their opinions about abortion. And if you're with somebody and you don't want children, but if they end up getting pregnant, if you want an abortion and that other person doesn't believe in it, that is going to be a very hard decision to make. Because either way, either person is going to just be devastated in one way or another. So I think that's another thing that people need to have the same views on. So take accountability in your life for future suffering you may create if you move forward with a person that you know you're incompatible with deep down. Move forward consciously and intentionally while searching for the person that's right for you.
Definitely. And I think we mentioned it's so important to look into these things at the beginning of a relationship, but also keep in mind that people change, their priorities change, their beliefs change. So it very well could be that you aligned in the beginning and maybe you don't anymore. And having the strength to step away can be very difficult.
Yeah, it can. But continue to do what makes your soul feel fulfilled and joyful and content. And please don't abandon yourself, because you'll hurt yourself and others in the long run. Thank you everybody for joining us here today. We hope you have a beautiful, wonderful week. We appreciate your time and we're looking forward to next week with you. We love you all.
Thank you for supporting our show. Please follow and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You can also catch our full video episodes on YouTube. Namaste.
Namaste.